My name is Ben Bailey. We're so glad that you've joined us for our broadcast today.
Oh, how we need to have a passion for studying the Scriptures. My friends, as we look at the Bible, one of the great things we see is men and women who were devoted, who were passionate about the Word of God. I'm reminded of that prophet Jeremiah, the weeping prophet of Anathoth, who was found at times in the dungeon, yet he exclaimed in Jeremiah 15, verse 16, "Your words were found, and I did eat them, and they were to me the joy and rejoicing of my heart." I think of examples in the Bible like that of Hilkiah and Shaphan the scribe and young Josiah the king. For a long time, Israel had not been following the Word of God. And yet we find in the context that Hilkiah and Shaphan, they say to the king, "We have found the book of the law of the Lord." You can almost hear the passion in their voice. And from the king down, they repented and changed their ways. Job is another prime example of a man who in the midst of great suffering had a passion for God and His Word. Look at the words of Job 23 and verse 12. Talk about a man who was passionate about Scripture. Job said, "I've not departed from the commandment of his lips." Now remember, this is in the midst of great struggle and trouble. Job said, "I've not departed from the commandment of his lips. I have treasured the words of his mouth more than my necessary food." Now friends, that's passion. Are we planning on skipping any meals in the next few days? Are you planning on missing lunch, dinner, or supper? Job said, "God's word is more important than our necessary food." Job said, "Though he slay me, yet will I trust him." Job 13 and verse 15. Another prime example of a person who was passionate about the Word of God at a young age is that of Jesus Christ. Jesus departs from his company, from his parents. He goes and they find him in the temple. He simply states, "I've got to be about the Father's business." But what's so amazing is that he is in the temple with the teachers of the law, the scribes, the Pharisees, and the Bible says in Luke 2 verse 47, they were astonished at his answers and his understanding. At that young age, Jesus was very passionate about Bible study. And so today we hope to light a passion in each one of us about studying the Scriptures and really devoting our lives to being men and women of the book. Why is it that we need to have a passion for Bible study? Why do we need to be good students of the Scripture? Friends, there are several reasons we could answer today, but I think probably one of the most profound, one of the most important reasons that we need to be good students of Scripture is so that we can be approved by God. How is it that we on the day of judgment are going to be approved in the sight of God? Well, the Scripture teaches us that to be approved by God, we've got to be good students of the Word. Did you know that you cannot be approved in God's sight without being a person of the book? Look at 2 Timothy 2, verse 15. Here's where we learn very clearly that to be approved, to be righteous and godly in His sight, we've got to study the Scripture. Paul said to Timothy, "Be diligent, study, to show yourself approved unto God, a worker who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." King James, study. Why? To show yourself approved before God. How is it that in God's sight we're going to stand justified and pure and holy when we've studied the book and when we live our lives by it? And so we need to study to make sure that we're approved in God's sight. 1 Peter 2 and verse 2 teaches us that we should no longer be babes in Christ. We're no longer to be a baby on the bottle, as it were, but we're to move on the pure milk of the Word that we may grow thereby. Too many people are still on the bottle. We need to get off the infancy, the elementary things, and get to the Word of God and its meat. Peter said later in 2 Peter 3 and verse 18, "But grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ." How are you going to grow? How are you going to move on to more mature things? By getting into the book, by having a real passion for studying the Scriptures. In fact, friend, you can't really please the Lord without knowing His Word. Look at what Jesus said, or notice what Jesus said in John 14 verse 15. Jesus said, "If you love me, if you claim to be a follower of mine, if you love me, keep my commandments." How can you keep His commandments if you don't know them? Jesus said, "You are my friend if you do whatever I command you." A sad commentary is found in Hosea 4 verse 6. Here's another reason, and it goes right along with this. We need to be approved by God and make sure that we're not going to be condemned, and the only way to do that is through studying the Scripture. Hosea 4 verse 6, the prophet said, "My people, God's people, are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. We also need to be good students of the Scriptures today because there is so much confusion in this religious world. The world that we live in is so confused about God and Jesus and salvation and the Bible. How are we going to make our way through all this confusion? How are we going to find a clear path? The only way is through the Scriptures. The Bible says in Ephesians 5, verse 17, "Do not be ignorant, but understand what the will of the Lord is." God did not leave us to be ignorant. God doesn't want anybody to be unaware of His Word or His principles. Well, how can we know? Do not be ignorant, but understand what the will of the Lord is. The Bible is given to us so that we can read it and know God's will. Ephesians 3, verse 4, it's a simple book. When you read, Paul said, when you read, you can understand my knowledge and the mystery of Christ. You can know God's will, but you've got to do that. You've got to read and study to meander your way through the confusion. Think about the words of Jesus in John chapter 8 and verse 32. Jesus said this, "You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." There's only one way to be free, and that's by knowledge of the truth. Free from what? Sin. Free from the confusion and problems that our world is facing today. Free from all the chaos that there is. Jesus is the only way in His Word to know that. And so you've got to look to the book. Great question is asked in Jeremiah 37, verse 17. An evil king asked one of the best questions you could ever imagine. He said this, "Is there any word from the Lord?" Paul had to repeat those sentiments, no doubt, in Romans 4, verse 3, when he asked the question, "What do the Scriptures say?" Friend, in a world where there is so much confusion, how we need to be a people who say, "Is there any word from the Lord? What does the Scripture say about that matter?" When we hear something, we don't need to automatically say, "Well, that must be the gospel. So-and-so said it, and they're a religious leader." No, we need to say, "What does God say? Can they support that from the book?" So much confusion is made in this world today because people don't look to the book of God, to see what's right. But friend, I also want to suggest that we need to study the Scriptures to make sure that we're right with our God. And this goes hand in hand with being approved by God, but it places a little different emphasis on it. I want to be approved in God's sight, but I initially want to make sure that I'm right with God to begin with. How do I do that? By studying the Scriptures. 2 Timothy 2, verse 15 again says, we've got to study to be approved by God, a worker who does not need to be ashamed. I want to turn your attention to a beautiful passage. Acts chapter 17, verse 11. Here is illustrated for us the great need to study the Scripture to make sure we're initially right with God. Look at these people. He's talking to the noble Bereans. They're more fair-minded than those in Thessalonica. Why is that? Why were they more noble or fair-minded? In that, they received the Word with all readiness and searched the Scriptures daily to find out whether these things were so. Imagine the setting. You're in Berea, and someone comes and knocks on the door. It's the Apostle Paul. He says, "I've got a message from God, and I want to preach to you, and I want to tell you about that." And so you say, "Come on in, Paul. We're ready to hear it. We've got a ready mind. We want to know what you've got to say." And then when they heard that message, they didn't immediately confer. They didn't immediately think that was right. They heard what Paul had to say. They put it down, and they opened up the Word of God. They searched the Scriptures daily to find out whether these things were so. And so, when you hear someone talk about salvation, when you hear someone give a plan of salvation, or give ideas they think are right to be saved by God, search the Scriptures to make sure. There's only one way to know you're right. God has given us His full and ultimate will. We can know the truth, and we can be free. But each of us has the responsibility to search the Scriptures for ourselves. We also need to study the Bible to answer the skeptic and to teach the lost. There are so many skeptical people in this world. One of the ways that we deal with that, deal with the skeptic and the critic, is by being fluent with the Word of God, being able to converse with them from Scripture. Here's a passage, I think, that sheds light on this idea. It's found in 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 15. Look at what Peter says about being ready to give an apology, a defense for Christianity. Peter says, "But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and always be ready to give a defense to everyone who asks you a reason for the hope that is in you, with meekness and with fear." Here it is, as though someone wants to know about Jesus, or there's a critic who really doesn't think that something in the Scripture is true. We need to be ready to give the word defense, a reasoned, ready apology. Give it a scriptural defense of what we believe. You know, it's told of elders, or it's said of elders in Titus 1, verses 9 through 11, that they're to be men who are so affluent, conversant with the Scriptures, that they can stop the mouths of the gainsayer by the Word of God. Remember Matthew 28, verse 18? Jesus said, I've got authority. He's the one who has the authority today. We need to look to His Word to teach the lost and to reach the skeptic. But I also think we need to study the Scriptures to avoid sin in our lives. What is it that I can do on a daily basis to prevent sin, to keep sin from getting into my life? Well, let's ask this question. What is it that Jesus did to defend Himself from sin? What is it Jesus did to prevent the devil from getting an in His life? Remember Matthew chapter 4, verses 4, verses 7, and verse 10. Jesus is here tempted by the devil, lust of flesh, lust of the eyes, the pride of life. If you're the Son of God, turn these stones to bread. If you're the Son of God, throw yourself down from the temple. Worship Me, He said. But do you remember what Jesus said every time? It is written. It is written. It is written. Jesus overcame the temptation of the devil by looking back to the Scripture. He used it as the source, the tool, to avoid sin in his life. And friends, the Scripture teaches that is a valid principle. Look at Psalm 119, verses 10 through 12. Here the psalmist is going to be talking about how can a young man cleanse his heart by taking heed according to Your law, Your word. And notice what he says in Psalm 119, verses 11 and 12. The psalmist says this, Your word have I hidden in my heart that I might not sin against You. Friends, that's a powerful passage about how sin can be prevented in our life if we really know the Word of God. If God's Word is hidden in our heart. By the heart, we're not talking about the chest pump, the thing that pumps blood in your chest. We're talking about the mind. As I study the Scripture, as I make its principles practical, as I make them relevant for my life, I'm able to avoid sin. I hide God's Word in my heart. And that helps me to prevent sin. Oh, how we need to do that, because there are so many who are giving in to sin. Remember what Jesus said in Matthew 7, verses 13 and 14? There are two ways in life. One of these roads is a wide and a broad way that's easy to go down. Most are going down it. Sadly, it leads to destruction. And then on the other hand, you've got a narrow, you've got a restricted way. Few there are who find it, and it leads to eternal life. How can I make sure that I'm one of the few? By putting the Word of God to work in my life every day. This was said of Cain in Genesis 4, verse 7. God said to Cain, Sin, its desire is for you, but you must master it. How do we master sin? By, first of all, giving our hearts to the Word of God. By putting God's Word in our life. You see, friend, the way of the sinner is the hardest way you could ever imagine. Proverbs 13, verse 15, the way of the transgressor is hard. It's the hardest life you could ever imagine. To overcome that, though, you must have the Word of God hid in your heart. And so here are some reasons why we need to be good students of the Bible. But I also want to give us some reasons, some attitudes that will promote good Bible study. Let's say today that we see the value in studying the Scriptures. What then, what steps must we take to really have the right heart, the right attitude to promote good Bible study? What things can I understand about the Scripture and about God that will make His Word so relevant for my life? I would suggest that we need, first of all, to have a firm belief that this book, the Bible, is the inspired Word, the very Word of the God of heaven. When God said in Genesis chapter 1, let there be light, and there was light, and He breathed out that statement. Friends, that statement is no different than the words you find in the Bible. The fact that God said, let there be light, and it came to existence is a strong commentary on how that the Word of God today is just as much His Word and is just as much as powerful as that statement. Look in Psalm 119, 160 for just a moment. I want to turn your attention to this beautiful passage about inspiration. Now, when we talk about the Bible being inspired, what do we mean? Well, here's kind of a summary statement of that. The psalmist said in Psalm 119, verse 160, the entirety of Your Word is truth, and every one of Your righteous judgments endures forever. When we talk about inspiration, from Genesis 1:1 to the very last verse in the book of Revelation, this book is from God, and it is the absolute truth on all matters. You won't find any religious truth outside this book. And friend, the only truth that will get us to heaven is right here. Paul thought about inspiration and wrote about it in 2 Timothy 3, verses 16 and 17. He said to a young evangelist, Timothy, All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. That word, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God, literally means God exhaled. All Scripture is breathed out by God. That's the idea of inspiration. This book, it's not the ideas and the writings of men over centuries. Although God used human scribes, Paul said this in 1 Corinthians 14, verse 37. If any man thinks himself to be a prophet or spiritual, let him acknowledge that the things that I write to you, Paul didn't say they're my opinions, he said these are the commandments of God. What Paul wrote, what John wrote, what Moses wrote, what Luke wrote were not the words of Paul or John or Luke or Moses. Those were the very words of God. 2 Peter 1, verses 19 through 21 describes it beautifully. Holy men of God spoke as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. God inspired men with the power of the Holy Spirit. Those men wrote down the Scriptures we have today, and the end product was not the words of men, but the Word of God. David was said in said of David in his inspiration in 2 Samuel 23 and verse 2. David said, "The Spirit of the Lord was upon me, and His Word was on my tongue." That's what we're talking about today. When we read the Bible, although men may have spoke it, although men may have wrote it, the writing, the words on their tongue, was not the words of men. It was the Word of God. Jesus promised His disciples in John 16, verse 13, when He, the Spirit of truth, has come, He'll guide you into all truth. That happened in Acts chapter 2. The Spirit came, and from that point on, men were inspired to write the Word of God. And so to really make Bible study practical, to really have a passion for Scripture, you've got to realize this is not a dead book written 2,000 years ago or thousands of years ago. This book is the Word of God, and it is God speaking to me today. Friends, that's the way to make Bible study practical. Don't approach the Bible as, well, this is God writing to people thousands of years ago, and it's really not even relevant for us today. No, approach the Bible with the attitude, this is God speaking to me. And friends, that'll really create a proper attitude for Bible study. But a second attitude that will promote good Bible study is a belief in the absolute authority of the Scriptures. Friend, if I can come to the realization that this book, only the Bible alone, is the only book that is our authority in all matters of religion, think about how much that will improve our attitude for studying the Scriptures. For centuries, people have not really placed an emphasis on the Scriptures because there were other writings or other people they looked to. But be sure today, the Bible says there's only one book to look to. John 2 and verse 5, Mary, the mother of Jesus, made a wonderful statement. At the wedding in Cana, Jesus about to turn the water to wine. The pots have run out. She requests of Jesus to perform this first miracle. And Jesus evidently agrees to do that. And here's what Mary says. She looks to the servants and she says this, "Whatever He, Jesus, says to you, do it." Can you find a better motto for life? And friends, you can't find the words of Christ outside of the Bible. Colossians 3, verse 17, "Whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him." 1 Corinthians 4, verse 6 is a paramount passage relating to Bible authority. Paul said that they had transferred some things to themselves, him and Apollos, figuratively, for their sakes, that in us, you may learn not to go beyond what is written. Oh, you talk about a principle for studying Scriptures. Here it is. Learn not to go beyond what's written. If we could just convince ourselves that everything I need to know to get to heaven, to know about God, to live the best life is right here, my friends, that will create passion for studying the Scriptures. It is said at the close of the Bible in Revelation 22, verses 18 and 19, we're not to add to nor take away from His Word, lest the condemnations of God be upon us. If we're not to add to or take away, then that implies that all I'm accountable for is right here within the pages of the Bible. This is our only authority. It has all the answers to all the questions about religion. My friends, also want to suggest today that another attitude that will promote good Bible study is to have a humble and submissive nature. for me to really get anything out of the Scriptures, I've got to approach it with the right attitude. What is that attitude? I think it is exhibited so well by Samuel in 1 Samuel 3 in verse 10. I want you to look at this passage, 1 Samuel 3, verse 10. Here's the proper attitude for good Bible study. The Lord came and stood, and He called, as at other times, to Samuel. And He said, "Samuel, Samuel." And Samuel answered, "Speak, Lord, your servant hears." Now, friends, that's the attitude we need to get anything out of Scripture. If I'm going to have a good attitude about Bible study, when I open the Word of God up, when I study it, when I look through the pages of Scripture, I need to be like Samuel. I need to approach it saying, "Speak, God. Speak, Lord. Your servant hears. I want to do what God wants me to do." Think about people like Moses. Moses was that way. God spoke and Moses was ready to go out and do His will. Luke 14:11, Jesus, "Whoever exalts," said, "whoever exalts himself, he'll be humbled. And whoever humbled himself, that's the man who'll be exalted." We need to remove all pride from our heart. For Proverbs 16, verse 18 says, "Pride goes before destruction, a haughty spirit before a fall." Whoever exalts himself, God's one day going to humble that man. And so to really get anything out of Bible study, I've got to approach it in humility, realizing that this is God, and He's talking to me, and that if I'm going to obey Him, I've got to have the right attitude. You know, another attitude, though, that will really promote good Bible study is a sincere desire to obey God and no one else. If I've got the attitude that all I want to do in this life is please the Lord, I want to obey God and I want to go to heaven, you can't imagine the good that'll do for Bible study. Think about people like Daniel. Daniel was told, "You either submit to the decree and bow down to this graven image that we've made, or we're going to throw you in the lion's den." Daniel said, "Get the lions ready." Think about people like John the Baptizer. John stood in boldness and told the evil king, "It's not lawful for you to have your brother's wife." Why did he do that? Why did Daniel go into the lion's den? They had one desire in life, to obey God and no one else. Think about people like Micaiah. In the midst of an evil king and a horde of false prophets who were prophesying a smooth message, they come to Micaiah and they say, "We've all given the king a good message. You do the same thing also." Micaiah said, "Whatever my God says to me, that's what I'll speak." Think about people like Noah. In a wicked world that God was ready to destroy, Noah started building an ark. He obeyed God. Think about people like Jesus. Had no desire outside of pleasing God. Think about Paul. When he changed his life, Paul said in Galatians 1 verse 10, "If I were still pleasing men, I'd not be a servant of God." He changed his life and he only had one person to make happy, and that was God. You know, too many times, my friends, we allow what others think or what others want us to do to affect our Bible study. If we were to believe a certain principle, well, that might make so-and-so unhappy, or that might make someone in my family not as close to me as they ought to be. Hey, you've got to have the attitude. If I'm really going to be a good student of Scripture, I need to worry about what one person thinks of me, and that's God. But then there's another attitude that I want to suggest to you today, and that is that if we're going to please God, we're going to have real passion for Bible study, I've got to have an overriding desire to go to heaven. If your main goal in life is to go to heaven, then my friend, you're naturally going to be a good student of Scripture. Philippians 1 verse 21, I think, illustrates the attitude all of us ought to have. Paul said, "For to me, to live is Christ and to die is gain." Oh, what a joy it was for Paul to live for Jesus and die. That was a good thing. Do we really have that overriding desire that no matter what else happens, I want to go to heaven. I want to be with the Lord. I want to be with Jesus. But as we think about Bible study, I want us to also think about some of the benefits. Now, we can understand today that there ought to be a passion for Bible study, that here are some good habits that we ought to have, here are some attitudes that promote it. But let's think for just a moment about some benefits. What motivates us to be good students of the Bible? Friend, may I suggest to you today that Bible study brings great joy to our lives. You'll never be happier than a person who is studying the Scriptures daily. Who is the happy man? Psalm 1 verse 1 says, "Happy is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of the sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful, but happy is the man whose delight is in the law of the Lord." Look at the words of the psalmist in Psalm 19 verse 8. Here's the person who will have real joy. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. When your life is being lived in tune with the Word of God, when God's commandments and precepts are directing your life daily, that's when you'll have real joy. Paul said to the elders in Ephesus in Acts 20, verse 32, "And now, brethren, I commend you to God and the Word of His grace, which is able to build you up and give you an inheritance among all those who are sanctified." Another benefit of the Scripture, studying the Scripture, is that it helps us to grow and mature as Christians. In Matthew chapter 4 and verse 4, Jesus taught His disciples, "Launch out into the deep." Matthew 5, verse 6, "Blessed are those who hunger and thirst after righteousness." Look again at the words of 1 Peter 2 and verse 2. Here's how the Scriptures are so powerful in our lives. It helps us to grow as a Christian. Peter said, and he began to understand after his denial of the Lord, that he needed to grow. And he said these words, "As newborn babes, desire the pure milk of the Word, that you may grow thereby." And so, friend, we hope today that we have encouraged you. Maybe we've sparked a fire within you to have real passion for Bible study. Come to the Scriptures and realize that this is the only way to be saved. Without studying the Bible, without doing what God says, you cannot be saved. But here's the good news. The Bible says God has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of Him who called us. 2 Peter 1:3. This book has everything you need to get to heaven. And so we ask you, are you on the road to heaven? Have you obeyed the gospel? Are you a child of God? If not, you can become one today. In Acts chapter 2, they were told, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, for the forgiveness of your sins." If you've not done that, why not do it today? And friend, we're praying for you that you'll have a real passion for studying the Scriptures.